The one hymnal that didn't have "O 4,000 tongues to sing" as the first song had that as the first song. So I wanted to use both of them as part of our service today as we talk about worship. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Loving God, please guide our thoughts and our words today. You are the potter, we are your clay. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. When people show up with their hearts and their minds open to God for worship, things happen. We should come to worship expecting things to happen. Your life can change forever by what happens when the people of God gather together to worship God who's known to us in Jesus Christ. And no, I'm not just speaking hypothetically. It was at a worship service in Galesburg about 28 years ago that for the first time in my life, I felt the love of God in a new and profound way. I felt the presence of the living God. It helped guide me. It was one of the key moments in my journey of faith. And it was a few years after that at another worship service in Normal, Illinois, that for the first time I felt that God might be calling me into ministry as a pastor. And I have seen other people who've had their lives changed in worship. When God's people get together and worship God, things happen. And that is good news. So throughout this past month and for this coming month, we've been talking about our Methodist DNA, about those parts of our tradition, our specific tradition of the Christian movement, of the Christian church, and how we have things in our tradition that can shape our faith, that shape who we are as a church, and that also equip us to go out and share God's good news in Jesus Christ with the world. And today we are going to talk about worship. Now, worship, like everything else that Methodists do, has to do with grace. We believe that God's grace is available for all people. We believe that God offers love to all people, God's loving, life-changing relationship with God before we're even old enough or capable of understanding God's love. And then we believe that God invites us to at some point return that love, to enter into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And finally, we believe that God will continue to shape us day by day and year by year in our walk with Jesus so that we can be more like Jesus, so that we can have a deeper relationship with God, and so that we can be a greater blessing to others. And worship is part of this. It's one of the places we experience God's grace. And what you're going to see on the screen behind me are images of this congregation worshiping. But I want to emphasize something, worshiping together, being part of worship together, because there's something extremely profound about the people of God coming together. Now, I want to say to you that not all of the people who are part of the United Methodist Church worship in the same way or in the same style. And there's reasons for that, and I won't get into that long history lesson. That's more of a book than a sermon. But different churches have had different histories that shape where their worship is today. And United Methodists worship in many, many languages and in many cultures all over the world. So, of course, from culture to culture, from language to language, services are a little different. And I would encourage you at some point to watch a video of a deaf church and to see how different that style of worship is as well. Very different than what we do. But the point of all of it is the same. It is to give glory and honor and praise to God. It is to help the people who are worshiping connect with God. And it is to help bring the people together. Now, you can worship on your own. Anytime that you sit down or you stand up or you do whatever and you say a prayer to God, anytime you maybe sing a song that has about your relationship with God at any point, maybe as you're driving your car or something like that, you are worshiping. That is good. Do that. But that's not what we're talking about today. We are talking about when the community gathers to worship, because there is something incredibly powerful about the people of God gathering to worship. When I asked my wife this week, you know, I said, I'm going to talk about worship. So I said, what would you say? Why do we worship? She said, community. And that kind of struck me. I hadn't initially thought of that, but there's a reason for that. God, through Christ, tells us the most important thing we are to do is to love God with all we are, to be in that loving relationship with God in all we are. But the second thing that Christ tells us is that we are to love each other. We are to love our neighbors, but then Christ says that our neighbors is really everyone. And so when we come together in worship, we are reminded to love each other. We are not solitary creatures. There are animals in this world that basically live their entire lives by themselves, or virtually their entire lives by themselves. We are not Bengal tigers. We are not grizzly bears. We are not cougars out in the Rockies somewhere. We need each other. Honestly, humans can't survive on their own. We are a social species. That is how God made us to be. We need each other. And just as we need each other for earthly survival, we will never connect with God as deeply and as profoundly as we can if we don't come together for worship. Worship brings us together and helps us connect with God. And our passage for today speaks to that. Now, the first part of our passage for today is King David speaking. Now, I don't know if he was speaking a poem or if he was singing a song. Because of the way it's printed in the scriptures, we know it was either a poem or a song, but I can't tell you for sure which one it was. But the point was, he was not just saying this to God so that he and God could feel closer to each other. Instead, in a sense, kind of like I'm doing now, he was up in front of a big crowd of people. And he was speaking this poem, or he was singing this song of praise to God to help the entire community draw closer to God. And then at the end of that passage, with all the names, and thank you, Mary, I know, I try to usually avoid a lot of complicated names, but believe me, if you read anything out of the Book of Chronicles, you're going to run into a bunch of names. It's just the way the people who were inspired to write, that's how they wanted to tell the story of God. But I made a point. I wanted you to hear all of these people that were involved in helping the ancient Israelites worship. You had people who were in charge of the gates. You had people who were at the tabernacle. You had families of people who were doing the music in worship, the cymbals and the trumpets, and it says the sacred instruments, so probably harps or lyres or something along that line. You probably also had, and we see in other parts of the scriptures, that there were families of people whose job was to sing songs of praise to God as people worshiped. And then there were the priestly families who offered the sacrifices on behalf of the entire nation each day. And then if someone wanted to offer a sacrifice to God, the priest would perform the sacrifice for them. It took a big community, an entire group of people, for the ancient Israelites to worship with excellence, to connect with God in the way that they felt God was calling them to. And you know what? That hadn't changed. It takes a community of us to come together and worship with excellence. Now, I'm going to say right now, I'm really glad we don't worship exactly the same way as they did back then, because I'm sure I would get blood all over my robe every single week. At that time, sacrifices and things like that were a big part of how people worship. But the point is, when we come together to worship, we still need a lot of different people. We need musicians, and we need ushers. We need communion stewards. We need acolytes. Even if you're not up here in front, you know, reading the scripture, for instance, saying the prayers together, singing the songs together, being here together, even the people who are doodling and taking notes and things like that and connecting with God in their own way, if we are all together here connecting with God, we are raising each other up. We are opening our hearts to God and see how God is going to use us to bless each other. It's not just about us getting closer to God here in worship. It's about us helping everyone here get closer to God as well. Now, we do worship in a lot of different ways, and we have special times of worship. But in all times, worship is about giving honor and praise to God, and about growing in our relationship with God, and about community. Now, sometimes we have specific worship services, usually around important events in a person's life. You've all been to these. They're called weddings, or funerals, or baptismal services. Or one of the most powerful things to me, and I encourage all of you to go to one at least once in your life if you haven't, when the United Methodists of a certain region come together at their annual conference to do an ordination service. When the bishop lays hands on someone and asks God's Holy Spirit to be on them so that they can go and do the work of being a minister. Or I should say there's also consecration services, and we do the same thing for missionaries. We do have special worship services like this where we celebrate what God is doing and sometimes celebrate the beginning of something new, or worship services like a funeral where we ask God to be with us. We ask God to offer us comfort in a time of ending, in a time of grief. In either of these, though, in any of these, we still ask for the community to come together, to do it together. And then there are the special worship services that we have throughout the year to remember key events in the history of our faith. A lot of you were at one of these special services several weeks ago. It's called Christmas Eve, when we all gather together to remember that Christ was born into this world in Bethlehem long ago. As we approach the season of Lent, we'll have several special services: Ash Wednesday, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, all of these to remember key events in the Christian story and to remember how Jesus sets us an example, calls on us to repent, calls on us to change our lives. These are powerful times and special services, often where we do unique things, all of it to remember parts of our sacred story. But then there's what we do every week. But just because it happens every week, it doesn't mean it's important. Those of us who gather here, or those of us who are watching what we're at least part of our service on the internet, which is a surprisingly large number according to our Facebook statistics. So I want to ask you all, I'm going to stick my neck out a little bit, I want you to turn to someone who's next to you or around you. Why are you here? Ask your people around you, why are you here in this time and in this place? Now, as I hear the murmurs, does anyone have an answer to that question they're willing to share? Why are you here? Oh, why are you here, Abiella? Well, yes. You are a preacher's kid. You're going to spend an awful lot of time in worship services. It's just part, it's your lot in life. Why are some of the rest of you here? To be spiritually fed. Anyone else?
Friendship.
Friendship, fellowship. Very similar answers. Good, beautiful words about community. We are brought here together for many things. I don't know what it is, but when God's people get together, it's better than when we're just by ourselves. But I want to emphasize something. Worship is not just consuming. Worship is participating. And I don't just mean the people who are worship leaders. Worship is participating for all of us. It was very interesting, the song that was sung at the beginning of the service today, the special music. I don't know if any of you paid attention to it, but it was about getting a drink of water. I mean, that's not exactly it, but that's the general gist. So I want to use this metaphor. Imagine worship like a well. Or maybe even not like a well. Imagine worship like a fountain. A fountain of beautiful, a natural fountain. Have you ever been to a place where there's a natural fountain where the forces of nature push that pure water up and it just bubbles forth? Sometimes it'll even kind of spray forth and you can drink from it. Worship is like a fountain. You are offered something amazing. You are offered the love, the life-changing love of God in this time of worship, but you got to bend over and take a drink. No one else can take the drink for you. Not even God can take the drink for you. You need to make the decision to be an active participant in this. And that is one of the key things about worship. Even if you feel like, well, I don't do anything in worship, I just kind of sit here, and then I stand up when it's time to stand up, and I sit down when it's time to sit down. No, you are participating. We all need to come with an open heart and an open mind to receive that water that God is spraying out of the ground, that beautiful, amazing, life-changing water, the water of the good news of Jesus Christ. And there are other things that are parts of our worship. It's not just about us participating. In our tradition, and this is very important in the United Methodist tradition, and I think it was probably important in the EUB tradition as well, we always look at the scriptures. Now, I want to say something. Do not have the only time that you hear any passage of scripture in a given week be here on Sunday morning. If you are, you're missing out. There is other stuff that God has to say to you with the scriptures. But we believe the scriptures are important. They are primary. They are the primary way we know about God's love. And God, through the Holy Spirit, also gives us human reason and the traditions of the church and people's personal experiences of God's love to help us understand the scriptures and to understand God. But because scripture is so important, we do read the scriptures each week and we try to reflect on what they might be saying to us in our lives today. And it's not just that. We also come to be inspired by the beauty of this place. There is a reason there are stained glass windows around us. Actually, there's a lot of reasons, but again, that's a book, or at least an essay. I'm not going to get into that. But there's a reason we have this beautiful stained glass. There's a reason we have these beautiful banners. There's a reason we play beautiful music. There's a reason that we try to have beautiful images and flowers and things like that on the altar. The beauty of God's love is symbolized by these things. These earthly things try to at least give us the tiniest impression of the beauty of God's love and God's grace that is offered to all of us. There's a reason that in this church we have a special room that we come into and worship, and it does look different than our day-to-day lives. It's a reminder that we are coming here to connect with God in a way that we might not connect with God in our day-to-day lives. And finally, and I cannot emphasize this enough, we come to worship to be changed. We do not just come to worship to be told everything's great. We come to worship to be changed. Now, sometimes in a worship service, somebody has that relationship with God for the first time in their life. Someone decides because of something that happens in worship that they are going to follow Jesus. They want that relationship with God, and they want to make their relationship with God known to us through Jesus Christ the center of all they do. And I've been to a lot of worship services where somebody had those. That conversion experience is what some people call it. Whatever you call it, that sometimes happens in worship. But even if that doesn't happen, we all come here to be changed. Sometimes to be challenged, sometimes to be comforted. Sometimes we come in with a lot of stress in our heart, and God says in worship, here, let me take some of that off your heart. But sometimes we come in and God says, I need you to do something. There is a problem in this world. There are people hurting. There are God's children in this world hurting in a unique way that you can do something about. I once heard a pastor say, I don't know if I loved everything about the metaphor, but he said, if you come into worship service, really we should be handing out seatbelts and crash helmets. Because we come here for something radical to happen. And I'm not just saying that. Like I said, my life has changed radically thanks to some worship services. We come here to be formed. Why do I say that prayer that I say before every single message about the clay being formed by the master potter who is our God? It's because I do believe God is forming us day by day, and every time we come to worship, it's another opportunity for that. So I hope that as you look around, as you see your siblings, as you see your fellow children of God gathered here, that we remember we are here to connect with God and to help each other connect with God. We are here to feel God's grace and to give glory and honor to God, but we're also here to get each other ready to go out in this world and to show love to this world and to help transform this world in Jesus' name. We are here to be changed, and we are here to know that we serve an awesome, powerful, loving God who is making all things new through Jesus Christ. So may we worship God with all that we are today and every time we come together for community worship. And may it be so in Christ's name. Amen.